The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's The Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. Time now to take a look at the situation around our region. Around Southeast Asia, governments have already begun planning and preparing for next year. That's as Malaysia tabled its budget 2020 on Friday. Thailand is set to unveil theirs tomorrow. Some of the highlights from Malaysia were lower toll charges, more petrol subsidies, and raising the salary cap for those eligible for overtime payment. Well, earlier this month, Thailand approved a slightly higher budget of 3.2 trillion baht. That works up to 145 billion Sing dollars for the 2020 fiscal year to bolster the country's economy, which is the second largest in Southeast Asia, and it's currently growing at its weakest pace in nearly 5 years. Meanwhile, if you look towards Indonesia, the country is preparing for the swearing-in of President Joko Widodo on Sunday. He did win the election, you'll remember, way back in April. He beat challenger Prabowo Subianto, who is a former army general, but he's only going to be sworn in this week. Singapore Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong, Malaysian Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, China Vice President Wang Qishan, and Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison will all be attending. Well, here to give us a regional roundup is Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, good morning, and thanks for helping us out with this. Let's start off with Thailand. They are set to table their annual budget tomorrow. So what can we expect?
Good morning. As to what we can expect in Thailand over the budget is the makings of a somewhat noisy affair in the country's deeply divided parliament. The entire budget process for Thailand's fiscal year that starts in October was delayed because the cabinet was only formed sometime in the middle of this year after general elections in March. What's happening this week, there will be the parliamentary debate on the roughly 3.2 trillion baht budget. It'll be the first of three debates in the lower house, with the remaining two taking place in January before it can receive royal endorsement. But these are early days yet, because Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha's government only enjoys a razor-thin majority in parliament, raising the prospect that the budget could be derailed if it does not receive a simple majority vote. It is something that cannot be ruled out, and should that happen, we could see more political fireworks in Thailand.
All right, Leslie, let's stick with the theme of budgets. Malaysia, they tabled their 2020 budget last Friday. For you, what were some of the biggest takeaways? And now that a couple of days has gone by, the dust has sort of settled, what's the reaction been so far?
As for the Malaysian budget, it delivered very little to get excited about. I think this underscores the limited options facing an open trading nation, very dependent on the global economy that is looking far from rosy. As expected, the government has proposed a major spending program to support growth, and it introduced a slew of incentives in the electronics and property sectors to draw much-needed foreign investment. Handouts for the lower-income segment were also promised, and this has been generally welcome. Still, the search for new growth drivers for the economy continues, and there are concerns over how long can Malaysia rely on deficit spending to prop up the economy. Malaysia posted budget surpluses in the 5 years before the regional economic crisis in mid-1998, when Prime Minister-in-waiting Anwar Ibrahim was Finance Minister. So I guess the real challenge facing the country is, what will Mr. Anwar's economic agenda be when he takes over from Dr. Mahathir?
On the line with me is Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez, taking us through a regional roundup. Let's stick with Malaysia, Leslie. Malaysian Transport Minister Anthony Loke announced that Malaysia's southernmost port, the Tanjung Pelepas, is seeking an expansion plan. The idea here is to accommodate 30 million 20-foot equivalent units by the year 2030. What do we know so far about these expansion plans? Any details about the cost or perhaps the capacity timeline?
Well, the government isn't directly involved in the expansion plans at PTP. It is very much a proposal by the port's chief backers, which include business interests connected to businessman Syed Mokhtar Al-Bukhari. The Malaysian government has declared that it is supportive of the expansion plans because it considers the southern port very strategic to the Malaysian economy, and will minimize the regulatory hurdles that the company would likely face. what is going to be more important will be the financial resources of Mr. Syed Mokhtar's empire, which is very large and is also fairly extended in the form of borrowings. That will determine how these plans unfold.
Okay, final question for you, Leslie, before I let you go. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, he's going to be sworn in for his second term later this week. And all of this comes on the back of a series of protests. And, you know, Chief Security Minister Wiranto has been stabbed twice by a militant that's been linked to ISIS. That's quite unfortunate. Looking ahead, what kind of security, what kind of preparations are currently underway? And what can we expect from this inauguration?
Well, security around the Indonesian president has always been very tight, and there is no doubt that in light of recent events, the guard around him will be stepped up further. The inauguration will have the typical pomp associated to these type of events, but more critically, there are concerns in Indonesia over attempts by power centers among politically vested interest groups to push for constitutional changes that could strip the reform-minded president of key powers and indirect presidential elections in Indonesia. That would be very, very severe. The president has declared that he will oppose these changes, which will require a two-thirds majority in parliament. How this unfolds could have major implications on the economy and also foreign investor sentiment.
All right, thanks a lot for that. Leslie Lopez, Straits Times regional correspondent, helping us out with a regional roundup.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.